Hello, and welcome to Here and Now, the Dawlish and Tynmouth area talking newspaper. Today is Friday the 17th of April, and we are the slightly depleted Green Team, all ready and willing to read you some articles from the Dawlish Gazette and the Tynmouth Post. My name is Gwen Wedden, and today Chris and I will be your readers as Lynn is on holiday. Before we get started, I would like to request that you have a good look around your house and send us back any old USB sticks and yellow envelopes that you happen to have. Today we've only received about 20. That isn't enough for the average output that we normally do is around the 40 mark. So if you don't send the USB sticks back, we can't send them out again. So please see what you can do and send us loads of those USB sticks. And now on to our first article.
Hello, it's Chris here, and I am appalled by the headline in the Dawlish and Tynmouth papers, as are a lot of readers on Facebook too, who have pointed out the atrocious spelling mistakes. There are two big ones, which is absolutely shocking.
Headline. Yeah.
Especially as a headline, but for a newspaper it is appalling. Anyway, that misspelt headline says, "Sewage spill prompts calls for upgrade." It actually says, "Sewage spill prompts calls for upgrades." So, urgent calls have been made for improvements to Teignbridge Town's ageing sewer system following a significant sewage spillage into the River Teign last week. Pollution at the site of the spill at Gales Hill in Tynmouth was reported to the Environment Agency by volunteers from Friends of the River Teign after signs of debris, including toilet paper, were seen flowing from a culvert into the river, and water testing by the group indicated very high levels of E. coli. An alert was quickly issued following the incident, warning against bathing in Sheldon on the opposite side of the River Teign, which is the designated bathing beach likely to be affected. Alec Collier, MBE, the group's treasurer, said, "It was obvious when I got to the beach that this was a significant ongoing sewage spill at a location right next to Tynmouth's popular back beach." The Environment Agency and South West Water investigated the report, with the water company carrying out a CCTV survey. It is understood South West Water had traced the sewage to a highway's sewer line, where there had been a major misconnection and collapse. The pipe concerned is not on South West Water's own network. But a spokesman for Fort said, that's the Friends of River Teign, "This is a significant spill of raw sewage with the potential to make people very ill. We've received a number of recent reports of river users suffering gastrointestinal illness. Many local businesses rely on tourism for their income, and beach closures are highly damaging, especially at holiday time. Our local communities deserve better." The group said the incident follows previous problems in the area, including a misconnected sewer that led to warning notices on Tynmouth Back Beach in 2024. Water quality at the Back Beach has been classified as poor, below the minimum standard for bathing waters in the Environmental Agency's tests over the past 3 years. Local beach users, including local rowing clubs and fishermen, have reported problems in the area for many years. The Back Beach is not designated as a bathing water, meaning there is no official water testing requirements or a pollution warning system. Fort Chairman Stuart Reynolds said, "Tynmouth Back Beach, while not a designating bathing water, still deserves proper protection." Fort is calling for the Back Beach to receive the same level of protection as the designated bathing waters at Tynmouth Main Beach and Sheldon. It is asking for a formal investigation into pollution sources, improved warning systems, and investment in sewage and drainage infrastructure. Mr. Reynolds said the beach is hugely popular, yet little has been done to make it safer. We don't want much warning signs, we want cleaner water. Sheldon Parish Council was advised of the spill and that an incident had a potential impact on Sheldon designated bathing areas. The notice from the Environment Agency says the advice is issued as a precaution. Mr. Reynolds said South West Water and the Environment Agency did respond very quickly, and it is not easy to identify where it is coming from. Both South West Water and the Environment Agency are working to identify the problem. They said our specialist teams are working closely with South West Water and Devon County Council to identify the exact source of pollution and resolve the issue as quickly as possible.
Stone Me, rare rock find now on display. A mysterious blue mineral, first analysed by experts at London's Natural History Museum back in 1996, is now on public display in the museum's Minerals Gallery. When first brought to the museum 30 years ago by broadcaster and Tynmouth-based artist Anna Grayson, experts were unable to identify the mineral and suspected that it was new to science. Anna bought the mineral in 1980 from a roadside stall along a road south of Fez in Morocco. The stall's trader thought the rock to be lapis lazuli. A geologist herself, and noticing its electric blue hue, different to that of lapis lazuli, she brought the mineral to the museum in 1995 as it was holding an open day for people to bring in specimens for identification. Given its complex characteristics, a team of experts, led by the esteemed late mineralogist Dr. Gordon Cressy, spent more than a year analysing the specimen. Anna said, "When I first saw the mineral on that roadside stall in Morocco, the first thing I noticed was that specific shade of blue. Secondly, the faces are at an angle and look as if they have been polished with a sheet of rough sandpaper. This property is known as slicken sides, and it's formed by movement in faults." It was not until much later that experts described it as arenite, a rare and complex carbonate-bearing silicate. During the sample's first analysis, it was thought to be a mixture of different minerals, and at the time, arenite did not have an entry on the International X-ray Diffraction Database. One of the reasons why the museum first considered that it may be new to science. Dr. Paul Schofield, principal researcher and a member of the team who went on to study the mineral's properties at the Natural History Museum, said, "It's fantastic to see this blue mineral sample back at the museum. It created such excitement when Anna brought it in during National Science Week." Arenite, meaning blue sky in Greek, was first named in 1876. However, the complex nature of the mineral meant that its structure was not officially determined until 2004 by a team of researchers in Spain. Anna continued, "The Natural History Museum has been an important part of my life since I was 7 years old, and Gordon Cressy was one of the most impressive scientists I have ever met. I am so proud the specimen is to be on permanent display. Mineralogy is a science full of beauty and wonder, the foundation for materials science and our modern world. This mineral has more stories to reveal, I'm sure of it." And the article is accompanied by a slightly fuzzy photograph of Anna Grayson holding quite a large lump of rock, vaguely reminiscent of forget-me-nots.
Council adopts plan to manage part of the coastline. A plan to manage the Teignbridge coastline between Holcombe and Sheldon has been adopted by councillors. Members of Teignbridge Council's ruling executive committee have formally agreed the plans to mitigate future flooding and coastal erosion risks. Tynmouth Beach Management Plan sets out a long-term strategy to strengthen coastal defences. It includes recommendations to raise the seawall and repair tow piles at the bottom of the seawall, build a new groin field, and to relocate the disposal area for dredged material from Spray Point to an area adjacent to Tynmouth Pier to help maintain the sand levels. But work needs to be done to develop a business case to secure funding and licences for the proposals to be progressed. Teignbridge District Council has developed the beach management plan in partnership with the Environment Agency alongside Jacobs Consulting and Coastal Applied Marine Research. The report is based on months of research, modelling and analysis of wave data, sand levels and current sea defence assets. Any contribution of new coastal defences is likely to be led by the Environment Agency, with Teignbridge District Council playing a key role as a project partner. Teignbridge District Council Executive Member for the Environment, Climate and Sustainability, Councillor Jackie Hook, welcomed the adoption of the beach management plan. She said, "We can see that the coastline of Tynmouth and Sheldon are changing, and increasingly the defences and seafront areas are suffering damage from more frequent storms. The impacts will be amplified by climate change and sea level rise. I welcome the approval of the beach management plan as a crucial stage in applying to obtain government flood defence grant and to enhance the current defence structures and protect the vulnerable built areas of Tynmouth and Sheldon from flooding and erosion risk."
Forest Park celebrates 20th anniversary. Holden Forest is celebrating 20 years of welcoming visitors to the countryside. The Forestry England Park opened on April the 15th, 2006, thanks to Active England funding aimed at increasing community participation in sport and physical activity. Since then, Holden Forest Park has continued to provide an ever-increasing array of ways to get involved in the outdoors and remove barriers for people getting back to nature. Holden Forest Park manager Ross Lamble said, "Forestry England has cared for Holden Forest for more than 100 years, and the last 20 years have been incredibly exciting for helping more people than ever discover this amazing part of Devon's countryside. We believe passionately that the great outdoors is for everyone, and research shows repeatedly that time in nature is important for our mental health. Holden Forest Park supports our communities to benefit from miles of walking, cycling and horse riding trails, running routes, treetop high ropes, wildlife watching spots and children's play and activities. We're incredibly proud to reach our 20th anniversary and celebrate two decades of creating unforgettable memories for our visitors. I can't wait to celebrate with our visitors throughout 2026. The very first public trails were created at Holden Forest during the 1960s. Trails came and went over the intervening years, with around 5,000 people visiting the forest each year. Holden Forest Park officially opened in 2006 with purpose-built walking and cycling trails, car park, toilets and catering to welcome 224,000 visitors by 2007. The forest now welcomes around 5 million visitors each year who come to enjoy peace, nature, adrenaline-fueled adventures and everything in between. Throughout its history, improving access to the outdoors has been a priority. Investment in wide and well-surfaced trails, a mobility hire service, frequent seating, and subsidized fitness courses have all helped people to discover the countryside in the way that meets their needs.
Celebrity gardener opens new polytunnels. Celebrity gardener Toby Buckland was on hand to officially open new facilities set to support learning, skills and well-being at New Leaf in Exminster. New Leaf, which is part of Devon Partnership NHS Trust, offers people struggling with their mental health a chance of real-world experience in a supportive workplace with the aim of finding employment now or in the future. The sun was out for this well-attended opening ceremony, which included live music and homemade refreshments. Devon Partnership NHS Trust charity Open Up provided the funding for the new multi-span polytunnels after some of the older ones required replacing. The new structure is large, interconnected greenhouse with multiple tunnel sections that are joined to increase the growing area, making it more efficient, stable and suitable for scaling up production. It will offer a space for new leaf to help people regain their confidence and to learn skills so they can take the next step in their mental health recovery journey. Toby Buckland helped mark the official opening by cutting the ribbon. He said the thing about New Leaf, the thing that New Leaf does so magically, is put people and plants together and grow the two. And for that to happen, you need a comfortable space. The new multi-span is a great space for plants to grow, for them to be easier to look after, and a place to rub shoulders with friends. Daniel Robson, head of charity fundraising at Open Up, said, "It's fantastic to see this new space at New Leaf. Projects like this show what's possible when we work together to enhance mental health support in a practical and meaningful way. This multi-span will create more opportunity for people to build confidence, develop skills, and take positive steps towards employment."
Warning: more cliff falls expected after landslip. More cliff falls are expected at Sheldon, where a dramatic landslip last month sent tons of debris crashing into the sea. The landslide was caught on camera by a passerby, and footage showed a cascade of red sandstone sliding from the Ness into the water, taking trees and other debris with it. Teignbridge Council has since fenced off a large area of the Ness headland at the mouth of the Teign estuary for public safety. A stretch of the southwest coast path has been affected. These are 280-million-year-old soft sandstone rocks, Coastal Officer Graham Smith told a meeting of the Teignbridge executive. "They have a propensity to erode and fall. We are expecting further falls in the area." Mr. Smith said tree surgeons were currently working to take down a tree which was currently teetering on the edge of the crumbling cliffs. The tree will then have to be recovered from the beach below. Members of the committee endorsed a long-term plan for beach management at Teignmouth in response to naturally occurring erosion, which has lowered sand levels. The new management of the beaches could include developing new coastal defences, with funding coming from the government. Councillor Jackie Hook said, "If we do nothing, the beaches will continue to get lower and narrower, particularly at the southern end of Teignmouth seafront. The flooding and erosion risk will increase as the beaches lose their ability to act as a natural buffer against waves and storms."
And another article about our seafront and beaches. Trial work to protect the railway line to begin. Trial work is about to begin in Teignmouth ahead of Phase 5 of the long-running resilience programme to protect the vulnerable railway line. Engineers are due to move on to Teignmouth Beach, where they will excavate a small section of the beach to uncover a track drainage outlet. The exploratory work will test a method of pumping water from the cliffs to see if it will help to prevent landslips. If the trial works, it would form the future scheme to complete the fifth and final phase of the overall project. The work starts, well, it will have started already, and is expected to last for about 2 weeks. The drainage outlet will be investigated before the area is filled in. The beach and coast path will remain open to the public, and the work area clearly marked by red and white barriers. Signs will be installed to warn the public to keep out of the work area, as heavy machinery will be in operation. A spokesman for Network Rail's South West Rail Resilience Programme said, "We'll excavate a 3 metre wide area to approximate depth of 2.5 metres. Sand mounds will be temporarily created in the work site. An area near spray point will also be used to store our machinery and for refuelling. Thank you for your patience while the work is completed, and we're sorry for any inconvenience." Phase 5 of the South West Resilience multi-million pound programme covers the 1.1 mile long section of railway running along the coastline from Parsons Tunnels to Tynmouth. The work is part of a trial to remove water from the cliffs and will test a method of pumping water from the cliffs to assess if it helps prevent landslips. Two wells are planned to be dug on land above spray point and pumps installed to drain water from the cliffs and into the sea via a temporary pipe under the railway. Pumping will take place around the clock for 7 consecutive days for each well. An additional borehole will also be dug. That and the boreholes previously dug for ground investigation work will be used to monitor how successful this method is. If the trial proves successful at this location, a second trial could be carried out in a different location, subject to funding. A minimum of 2 trials are required to prove the concept. This will guide future plans to complete Phase 5. Network Rail said, "We're working hard to find a solution that reduces the impact on the beaches between Holcombe and Tynmouth, but still provides a high level of resilience for the railway."
Rotary Club donates £1,000 to Food Bank. A giant cheque for £1,000 has been presented to a Newton Abbott Food Bank, courtesy of the town's Rotary Club. Members of Rotary Newton Abbott recently handed over the cheque to that food bank's Jean Patterson, who is co-chair of the Buckland-based food bank. And we now know that stands for Teignbridge Homeless Action Today. The charity said, "We are very grateful for the support that we receive from Rotary throughout the year, but this is an extra special donation from one of their members. Thank you for your continued support."
Drivers face delays as gas work starts. Motorists in Dawlish are dealing with more upheaval with the closure of the main road into the town. Wales and West Utilities have started work laying several kilometres of new upgraded gas pipes. But the work means the closure of the main A379 Exeter Road. The official diversion route has also sparked anger among residents, as this involves going along the A380 and through Tynmouth, adding miles onto what would normally be a short journey. As one resident pointed out, the official diversion route is absolutely nuts. What would normally be a 6-minute trip to my daughter's nursery will now be a 35-minute or longer journey. One taxi firm has announced it will not be operating at all for the week of the road closure. One resident reported it was chaos, with an HGV just moving cones to get through. Another reported drivers still trying to go down Exeter Road. The A379 will be closed until April the 24th, with no access onto Exeter Road from Elmgrove Road until the 19th. Then there will be multi-way traffic lights on Exeter Road from the 24th to June the 8th. Devon Highways said, "Please follow the signed diversion and expect longer journey times." But as one resident said, the couple of roads that the whole of Dawlish are being forced to use is not going to cope with the volume of traffic. Very few locals are going to use the official diversion, which is up to the dual carriageway. The non-official route is the back roads, which all local people will continue to use. Stagecoach Bus Service 2 and 11 is operating a diversion route between Exeter and Dawlish Town via the A380 and Tynmouth, but not serving passengers from Exmouth to Dawlish Warren. Devon County Council and Wales and West Utilities are paying for a shuttle bus to run between the top of Elm Grove and Exeter via Starcross, Kenton and Exminster.
Devon pharmacies struggle. Access issues persist. Missed medications, worsening symptoms and increased pressure on urgent care have contributed to efforts to reignite a focus on under-pressure pharmacies. Residents across the county are still facing difficulties accessing medication and collecting prescriptions even when pharmacies are open. With increasing closures, including temporary shutdowns due to staff shortages, some people are finding it difficult to access services at all. The issue was highlighted at a recent Devon County Council Cabinet meeting, where councillors discussed the growing strain on the sector and its impact on communities. Councillor Steve Lodge called for a motion on the problems to be discussed at the next full council meeting. Councillor Lodge pointed to a survey of 3,000 people carried out by a Tiverton GP surgery, which found that 35% had been unable to buy basic over-the-counter medicines locally, while 30% were unable to access a pharmacy at all. He said 301 responses, around 10%, indicated potential patient harm due to missed medication, worsening symptoms and increased reliance on urgent care services. There had also been a 10% rise in GP appointments linked directly to pharmacy issues, which he described as not sustainable. Nationally, there were 436 permanent pharmacy closures in England last year, alongside around 13,000 temporary closures. The most common reason is that there are not enough staff, Councillor Lodge said. He added that nearly two-thirds of pharmacies could close within the next year without further support, according to the National Pharmacy Association. He warned that closures are disproportionately affecting deprived areas, with more than 40% of high street pharmacy closures being in the poorest 20% of communities. Devon County Council does not directly control pharmacies which operate under NHS contracts, but it works alongside health partners and can lobby the government for support. Steve Brown, the Council's Director of Public Health, said the issue was being discussed at both the Council's Health and Wellbeing Board and the NHS Integrated Care Board. He confirmed the Council had written to the Secretary of State for Health and received a positive response. The government has previously said it plans to give pharmacy technicians greater responsibility, allowing pharmacists to focus more on patient care.
Hello, I'm Mike, and Gwen's invited me to give you a list of events going on in the next couple of weeks. So here we go. A reminder of what you might already know, that Tuesday 21st of April, Dawlish Community Transport are going to Ensley Garden Centre at the cost of £20. And then on Tuesday the 28th of April, Dawlish Community Transport are going to Topsham and Darts Farm, and that's at a cost of £13.50. But as we always say, with the current situation with fuel costs and accessibility with the roadworks, it's best to check with them on 01626 888890. Then a reminder that every Tuesday, the Dawlish Bookworms meet at the Strand Centre at the Lawn Hill entrance at 2 p.m. And this is for visually impaired people and anyone with a physical disability to enable them to meet with volunteer readers. And complimentary refreshments are provided. And then further in the diary, Thursday the 30th of April, just a reminder that there is a post office facility at the Pavilions in Starcross. And that's every Thursday from 11 a.m. till 12:30. And Friday the 1st and Saturday the 2nd of May, there's Toby's Garden Festival taking place at Powderham Castle. And there's no obituaries this week.
Decision due soon on derelict building plan. A decision on whether to turn a derelict building in Tynmouth into serviced accommodation is expected by the end of this month. Submitted by Cloud9 Investments Limited, the application is seeking permission from Teignbridge Council to change the use of 137 to 139 Bitton Park Road to serviced accommodation. The building has remained vacant at least 20 years that I recall and no longer provides an active or viable commercial use in its current form. Members of Tynmouth Town Council's Planning Committee made no objections to the plans. Teignbridge District Council are due to make a decision by April the 21st, if not before. The proposed development seeks to bring the building back into beneficial use through its conversion to serviced accommodation. The proposal utilises the existing structure and footprint with only limited and proportionate alterations. The planning statement says serviced accommodation is considered an appropriate and compatible use for the site, providing managed short-stay accommodation similar in nature to small-scale hotel or guest accommodation. Serviced accommodation refers to short or medium-term fully furnished homes, either apartments or houses, that are available to book by the night, the week or the month. Unlike hotels, these properties offer more space, privacy and flexibility. The proposed use represents a sustainable and proportionate evolution of the site that brings an existing building back into active use without resulting in harm to the character or function of the surrounding area, the planning statement adds.
CCTV in toilets sparks privacy row. Furious residents in Tynmouth are demanding action after it was discovered CCTV cameras have been placed inside cubicles at the town's new public toilets. The cameras installed in the new town council-run den toilets have been described as a breach of privacy and a safeguarding risk for children using the facilities. Anger was sparked after a parent took her children, one with special needs, to use the toilet and discovered the camera inside the cubicle. The camera only stops recording when the cubicle door closes, but many parents have pointed out they often take children into the toilet, but leaving the doors open so they can check on them. Since the revelation, there has been public outrage and condemnation of the decision to install them in the first place. Tynmouth Town Council, which runs the new toilets, responded to the fierce criticism, saying the CCTV was needed following vandalism. A Town Council spokesperson said, "We would like to assure residents that there is no CCTV captured in the new toilets when the doors are closed." Sadly, CCTV has been deployed in the new facilities due to repeated and extensive vandalism in the previous toilets. The police have been unable to act on that vandalism without before and after CCTV. Before this system was deployed, a full data protection impact assessment was completed, but it has been pointed out that some adults also need assistance and leave the door ajar. One mum said, "I have three children, and with the younger two, I don't allow them to lock the doors as they need my help. This is a complete breach of privacy."
Volunteers getting Dawlish sparkling. A big clean-up to make Dawlish sparkle has begun. Made up of groups of volunteers, the Dawlish Sparkles crew is intent on getting the town looking its best after more than a year of upheaval and disruption while South West Water carried out the major improvement scheme. The volunteer band is made up of members of Dawlish Chamber of Trade and Commerce, business and town councillors who have a list of jobs with the aim of now improving what is above ground. A chamber spokesman said a new group of local volunteers is coming together to take pride in our town, from restoring the bandstand to freshening up benches along the brook. This is all about keeping Dawlish looking its best for residents and visitors alike. This is just the beginning. A small actions done together make a big difference. If you love Dawlish and want to get involved, we'd love to hear from you. Let's keep our town shining. So far, work has involved various small jobs around the lawn and cleaning the directional signage. Two steps leading from the Strand down to the lawn have been weeded and washed down. Professional decorator Dave Luscombe has been giving the bandstand, which is in need of some attention, a spruce-up, helped by Sean Nix from the Shoe Centre. Historian David Force has also been involved deadheading the hydrangeas around Jubilee Bridge. Volunteers have also been out weeding and litter picking around the lawn area. The Chamber said, "We are delighted that so many people from our community have expressed an interest in joining the Dawlish Sparkles team. We will be putting a list of tasks together shortly and will then appeal for volunteers to come and join us." Town Councillor Linda Petherick said, "We're so lucky to have people who want to volunteer and to make our town look at its best. The community is so lucky, and thank you for your hard work."
GP creates new app to tackle loneliness. A GP in Newton Abbot has created a new app to combat loneliness. Dr. Maurice Kemple, who is based at Cricketfield Surgery, has built the Your Patch app as a way of combating social isolation as well as improving mental health and physical well-being. Through his clinical work, he has witnessed the vast benefits of engaging in your community and created an app which he describes as a digital community notice board at a hyper-local level. The app creates a search area of 1 kilometre radius from the user's location, in which they can search for and post activities and announcements. "I have digitalised the wooden community notice board you often walk past," said Dr. Kemple. Despite no relevant tech experience, the GP decided to act, having seen the devastating effects of loneliness, particularly among young adults and new mums. "The impacts of social isolation are multifarious," he said. "Increasing your community engagement has multiple benefits on your physical and mental health. Fundamentally, I want to create a tool for GPs and anyone, really, that minimises the barriers to community engagement." The not-for-profit app was developed during Dr. Kemple's year-long health inequalities project funded by the Devon Training Hub. After door-to-door research and feedback, he has taken Your Patch to the prototype stage, accessed via a QR code or shared directly from the app. Now he wants to take it further, ideally through a sponsorship, to create a downloadable app. "I'd welcome the opportunity to talk with anyone who sees the benefits of this digital community notice board," he said. "This doesn't need a lot of investment to make it downloadable and available from your Apple or Android store, maybe £5,000 to £10,000. Ultimately, I would like this to be a tool for practitioners to encourage community engagement among their patients. However, it can also be used independently of this for anyone who's interested in what's going on in and around their immediate neighbourhood."
Big Fix is coming to Repair Cafe near you. Recycle Devon's campaign to fix and breathe new life into as many broken things as possible returns this May. Running throughout the whole of May, the Big Fix, coordinated by Devon County Council, sees volunteers, menders, breathe new life into broken items such as electronics, gardening equipment, clothing, jewellery, clocks and much, much more to give them a new lease of life. Due to its huge success in previous years, the Big Fix is now nationwide across the country for the sixth time. So far, 44 repair cafes have signed up to take part this May, ranging from places like Jersey right up to the Orkney Islands. The Big Fix hopes to help people save money, not only by repairing old items, but also passing on skills to fix their own items in the future. Repair cafes are increasing in popularity as people are becoming more budget and environmentally conscious. They are organised and run by volunteers who offer their time and talents to help mend broken items and keep them in use for longer. Volunteers also help greet visitors, supply tea and coffee, and restock supplies of cake and other tasty treats. Councillor Jackie Hodgson said, "We now have 46 repair cafes running regularly in Devon, which is a wonderful demonstration of local communities coming together to reduce waste, share skills, and create a friendly, welcoming space for everyone. There is a growing demand to mend rather than replace, especially in these tough financial times. But many of us don't have the knowledge, confidence, or time to do it ourselves. Repair cafes offer volunteer members who most of the time can get the job done and keep their items in use for much longer."
Work started on waste station upgrade. Work has begun on a major upgrade to Teignbridge District Council's waste transfer station following approval by councillors last year. The approved works, which started on April the 13th, include new covered storage buildings with fire-resistant segregation, an improved drainage system to protect local watercourses, and enhanced sorting and storage capacity for new recyclable materials such as soft plastics. The project will also see the installation of grey water systems for fire safety and operational cleaning, alongside a solar panel system to generate renewable energy on site. The Brunel Road Household Waste Recycling Centre will be open as usual throughout the works. However, during the works and to accommodate the construction activities, there will be temporary changes to traffic routes to access the recycling centre. Access to the centre will remain via the current access road. However, later in the scheme, cars will temporarily exit the site through Teignbridge District Council's car park. Visitors are encouraged to follow the signage and directions given by staff on site. This project will deliver significant infrastructure improvements to ensure the site can meet new national waste legislation and support the government's simpler recycling reforms. These changes will allow a wider range of recyclable materials, including flexible plastics and films, to be collected from all households by 2027. The upgrade also supports the Council's commitment to achieving net zero emissions. The solar panel system alone is expected to generate around 19,000 kilowatt hours of electricity each year, saving almost 4 tons of carbon dioxide annually, alongside wider environmental benefits, including improved leachate management, reduced litter, and best practice water reuse systems. Work will be delivered in phases by contractor Prime Build South West Limited, with the waste transfer station remaining operational throughout construction. The overall project is scheduled for completion by late summer 2027.
More visitors urged to stay vigilant about theft. Police are warning the public to stay alert to opportunist thieves when they visit Dartmoor. That is, the visitors, not the thieves. Last week, members of the Ashburton and Chudley policing team carried out proactive patrols at Dartmoor National Park. While stationed at Haytor car park, officers engaged with visitors, offering crime prevention advice and putting up signage reminding people not to leave valuables in their vehicles. Police handed out "No valuables left" notices to drivers in a bid to deter thieves. A spokesperson for the team said, "With warmer weather arriving, we are now seeing more people heading out to enjoy Dartmoor. And while it is great to see, it also brings an increase in theft from motor vehicles. Please take a moment to lock your vehicle, keep valuables out of sight or take them with you, and stay aware of your surroundings."
Action horses return to county show. Ben Atkinson and his world-famous Action Horses will be making a welcome return to the Devon County Show next month as they return as the headline act in the main arena. Ben and his team have developed a worldwide reputation for magnificent stunt riding, classical dressage, and emotionally charged liberty work, and their appearance promises to be a standout moment at this year's show. For more than three decades, the Atkinson family has trained elite horses and riders for films, television, and major live events, earning a reputation for precision, artistry, and heart-stopping performance. Their horses have featured across global productions, and their live shows are renowned for combining technical mastery with cinematic drama. Audiences at next month's event will experience the full spectrum of Ben Atkinson's horsemanship, from the silent, soulful connection of liberty work to the explosive energy of trick riding and the elegance of classical dressage. His performances are widely praised as a true celebration of the horse, connection, athleticism, and storytelling in a way that captivates all ages. Ben will take to the main arena across all 3 days of the show, which runs from Thursday, May the 21st to Saturday, May the 23rd at West Point. Sharing the main arena stage on Saturday, the show's big family day, will be the Bulldoglings, the UK's premier freestyle motocross display team, famous for their jaw-dropping stunts and high-flying aerial tricks. The Bulldoglings bring a pulse-racing energy to the stage, captivating audiences with daring jumps, backflips, and heart-stopping manoeuvres. Their performances are a favourite with visitors of all ages, adding an exhilarating dimension to the show's world-class entertainment lineup.
Charity bike ride to raise funds for Samaritans. A charity bike ride will be raising funds for the Samaritans for the fourth year running. Organisers Steve and Debbie Cornish are inviting as many people as possible to get involved in the day in memory of their daughter Danielle. Over the last 3 years, the bike rides have raised thousands of pounds for the charity. This year's ride, on Sunday this weekend, the 19th, will include distances of 12, 20 and 50 miles. Steve said, "For the fourth year running, we will be completing a 50-mile cycle ride in memory of my daughter Danielle, who sadly lost her battle to mental health in August 2022. We will also be riding to raise awareness of mental health in general. The Samaritans do a great job. They give their time for free and help people to prevent them from getting to crisis point." Danielle said they were always non-judgmental, and she also took part in running events to raise funds for them herself. Danielle, who worked for the Office of National Statistics, died just after her 29th birthday. The charity cycle will begin at The Haven in Idford for the 20 and 50 mile rides, leaving at 9 a.m, while the 12 mile route will be leaving B&Q at Newton Abbott at 10 o'clock. Riders are advised to arrive early. Steve's wife Debbie and younger daughter Tady will be organising a tea, coffee and cake sale from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Idford Village Hall. This will also include a tombola and a raffle.
Charity urging collaboration for tree planting.
A Dartmoor-based charity is looking for landowners to collaborate with for its coming tree planting season. With a goal of restoring native broadleaf woodland on Dartmoor, More Trees has put out the call to landowners on and around Dartmoor to collaborate with the charity for its 2026-27 planting season. Using trees grown in its community nurseries, the charity, which celebrated its 25th anniversary in 2025, seeks to create new habitats. If you're thinking about creating a woodland on your land, on or near Dartmoor National Park, we still have availability for the coming season, so why not partner with us to create a nature-rich, broad-leaved woodland habitat, a spokesman for the charity said.
RNLI rescued dog after Whatcombe Beach call. Volunteers from Tynmouth Royal National Lifeboat Institute were called to help rescue a dog in distress near Whatcombe Beach on Monday, last Monday, April the 13th. The Tynmouth lifeboat crew were paged at 11 a.m. They swiftly launched the RNLI Claude and Cath Atlantic 85 lifeboat and were soon on the scene. The dog that had run away from the owner was unable to safely reach the dog because of the tide. With a helping hand from Torquay's Coast Guard, the crew were able to retrieve the dog and take it ashore, where it was reunited with its owner. The lifeboat was then stood down and returned to the station, where it was recovered and made ready for service by midday.
Cygnet saved from gull. One of the new cygnets in Dawlish almost fell prey to a seagull, but was rescued by a passerby. The young cygnet, which hatched to new first-time parents Rosie and Bluey, was retrieved from the gull's mouth. Now the waterfowl wardens have moved the whole family into a special enclosure, Quackingham Palace. Presumably that's the family of swans. A spokesman for the wardens said, "We have temporarily moved Mum, Dad and Cygnet into Quackingham Palace for a week or so to keep the cygnet safe after some unwanted attention from gulls. The seagull responsible was seen hanging around after failing to keep hold of the cygnet, which is just over a week old. Quackingham Palace was built 2 years ago as a temporary home specifically for the town's black swans population." And that brings us to the end of our recording for this week. As usual, if you have any comments or suggestions, you can contact us on 073 761 473 74. And your readers this week were Chris and myself and Mike, and our producer is Mike. As usual, the copying and dispatching is a team effort. So until next time, it's goodbye from us here in the studio.
Goodbye.